Frozen Shows is filmed in front of a live Twitch audience. Hey everyone, welcome back to Bros and Shows. I'm your host, Josiah, aka Mahler67, and with me, as always, I got my buddy, I got my pal, I got my brother Austin. Austin, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
Hey man, I'm doing okay. It's my last week at my current job. And because it is Indigenous People Day, we went to the federal holiday system. Or no, we went away from the federal holiday system and instead went to the New York Stock Exchange system. So no stocks or anything were traded today. And thus, we didn't deposit anything today. But because the New York Stock Exchange is still open today, we were open today. So... My job was non-existent today, and so all I did was open mail for another department, and they were like super surprised with how much I did, but it was soul draining, and I hated it, and I would not want to do that for my full-time job. And I apologize to anyone who has to do that, because that sucked. By the end of it, like, I was going like really quickly, because that's how I like naturally work. I like to go quick.
Mm-hmm.
By the end of it, I did not want to see a piece of mail, and my hands hurt from all of it.
Oh, wow.
It was an okay day. It went relatively fast, but I did not enjoy it. Do you have anything interesting, Allison? How was your weekend?
It was pretty good. I went to the fair, the old Loudonville Fair.
I took
Sydney's, my wife's cousin's daughter to the fair. So I had to do that. And then we went to Akron, and they went to a Blues Travelers concert, and we watched Nora. So that was pretty much what I did in Akron.
What's Nora?
Nora is Sydney's cousin's daughter.
Oh, I thought it was a movie. Nora. You said, well, like, watch Nora. I'm like, what's Nora?
Yeah.
Okay.
We watched Nora. Yeah, makes sense. Pretty much hung out, just watched football. And then yesterday I got home. I promised him I'd watch the Browns game up there. So I did. And I was like, I don't know what time I'm getting back. So that's why we postponed it to Monday. And I was like, hey, you know, it's probably easier if we just do Monday, because I don't even know what time I'm getting back.
Mm-hmm. What time do you normally get off on Monday?
I get off at 7 p.m.
7 p.m. Okay.
Yeah. I only work until 7 p.m. now.
The reason why is my new schedule. I get off at 5.
Oh.
So.
Well, yeah, we could do something on Monday.
Yeah, we could start doing 8 p.m. Mondays.
Yeah.
I think I should be in bed by 10.
Yeah.
On normal night once I get my schedule in. But I also know that I race and whatnot, so my plan is to be in bed by 10. I will probably not go to bed till about 11 or 12. That's how life is. But we could start trying to do Monday at 8, see how that goes. But yeah. Who knows?
Yeah, we can try to figure that out.
We can try figuring that out. But Austin, we need to talk about season 3 of Lock and Key.
The last season of Lock and Key.
Even though I think they try to end it on a way that's like, hey, if this gets well received, maybe we can do more. But I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know.
Austin, what's your thoughts on season 3? For someone who's a fan of the books, you were enjoying this series to a degree. You were sad that it wasn't what the books were, but you were happy to see it be put into a show.
Yeah, I still feel that Netflix really messed up with making this kid friendly. Mm-hmm. I just feel that it ruins like a lot of the story aspects in the books. And there was a couple things that they did in this season that is part of the books, but they did it a little bit, you know, how I said last week, where it was like it should have happened at the next season instead of this season. That happened this season again, and you know, something that was supposed to happen last season happened this season. And then we went into that whole thing and, you know, a different, completely different storyline. But they did bring, you know, I think this season was better than season two. It was interesting, a little bit more interesting. But still, overall, I'm not a fan of this season. And I can understand why, you know, people didn't like it and it wasn't well received. Like, most people didn't care too much for this season either. And I think it's because of how bad I feel season two was. A lot of people just dropped off after season one. So, yeah. And I remember when this season came out, like a couple months ago, my buddy Travis told me, he's like, hey, are you going to watch Lock and Key new season? And I was like, oh yeah, when's it come out? And he's like, tomorrow. And I was like, well, that's how enthused I am like, to watch this. Because I didn't even know about it and didn't even keep up with it. So, yeah. But overall, what did you think about season three?
What did I think about season three? Still bad writing. Yeah. Still bad writing. That's the biggest issue I have with the show. Characters are doing things that don't make sense. Characters are taking too long to do things. And characters are using things half-heartedly or stupidly. That's my biggest issue that I have with the show. I think the writing itself was pretty bad. The motivations for characters in this season was trash. I didn't think any character had true motivation. The Gideon guy wanting to destroy the world doesn't make sense. Like, you have no context for him other than I want to merge the worlds, and it's like, why? Yeah. What does that benefit you?
Absolutely nothing.
It would be different, like, if he said, like, you know, if we merge the worlds, the souls of the people in the world will be fed upon and thus grow our dimensions realm stronger and stronger, you know, something like that. I did like that he was collecting the keys, and the whole thought process came up of, these are my kin. You like, turning into keys. These are my, like, family, essentially. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's an interesting point. Make that the reason why you want to, like, kill all the locks or whatnot. Because you want to find all the keys and return them to your realm because they're being exploited here.
Yeah, that's exactly the storyline from the book.
Great. That's
the
much
whole
better.
Driving point. Yeah, that's the whole driving point. So that's why I said there's a lot of aspects of this season that makes a lot more sense. But Gideon is not a main main villain in the book. We don't even see Gideon's this made up character, because the whole time it's Dodge, and you know, we get Dodge all the way to the end. So you know, and you have, like, people that she gets to help her in the book, but that's it. Like,
and that's the other thing, right? So, like, the frustration I had with the other two people that Gideon resurrects, the two soldiers, why are they even listening to him?
Yeah.
Like, what's... They could just leave him, and he could never find them.
Yeah.
And they're echoes. They live forever. Why are they doing this? What do they gain from the worlds being merged? They have nothing. None whatsoever. And I'm like, that's stupid. The fact that the mom and all of them are all like, like, we all have magic now, it's all fine, let's all lock them up in this chest and like, be all good with it.
And which is not a key either.
I will say this now. I think you can tell what keys were created in the show and which keys were trash. Well, which keys were normal. Because, like, the chain key or whatever it is, that is the stupidest key in the world.
Yeah.
Because it's not like you take away the being's power once they're chained. They're just chained. Because it was hilarious to see the mom chain Gideon, and the Gideon just whips her across the room into a wall. And I'm like, what's the point of this item? Because Dodge couldn't do that, and Dodge had demon strength. But this person, this is fine. I'm like, what's the point of this chain key? The flight one makes at least semblance of chance. I still find it kind of cheesy, like the system of the flying. The animal key makes no freaking sense. I feel like that could have been an interesting plot point, but they just used it as MacGuffin to resurrect Brody. Sorry. Yeah, I get those two mixed up since, you know, they inhabit each other's body at one point.
Yeah.
Which
is a callback to the original comic book.
Does that happen
which
in
is
the
a
comic?
Huge. Yeah, it's a huge storyline where Dodge actually. What happens to Sam Lesser in the show, where he gets like thrown into the ghost door,
mm-hmm.
and becomes a ghost. Dodge actually gets thrown in, and Brody goes with him, and then Dodge ends up in Brody's body.
Yes,
which happens in the show, but it happens in the book, and the only person that ever finds out who Dodge is Rufus.
Yeah.
Because Rufus starts realizing he's like, why is Brody asking about keys that he already knows about? Like, this doesn't make sense. And then he realized that, like, he's, like, manipulating him. And then at that point, Duncan knows, too.
The show did a horrible job of that. Because the fact that him and Brody started fighting each other, and then, like, they come in, it's like, what's going on here? And he's like, you tell them, I'll kill them. And I'm just like... You're in a human body. He just, like, they made the point 5 seconds earlier when he punched him in the face and he started bleeding that he's like, you're in a human body now. I can hurt you. And I'm like, what makes him think that this demon could kill the mom and the other mom in Rufus?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. I felt like that was an empty threat because that is not Brody. And what is he going to do? He has nothing at that point to do anything.
Yeah, what is he going to do? Go into the kitchen, grab a knife, and threaten the mom, which he does later on anyways? So it's like...
So, some spoilers from the books, you know, because, like, I don't want to go... If you don't want to be spoiled and you're watching the podcast, then, you know, go ahead. You know, and should I spoil? Because I'm trying to, like, tell you... There's something that really helps me...
Don't full-on spoil it. Because like the thing is, like, I may go read it, someone else may go read it, and
I just think I think that there's something that happens, like the person that defeats Dodge in Dodge? Yeah, defeats Brody when they switch bodies. The person in the book that confronts Brody. Is Rufus, and Rufus becomes the hero, which is like, well, I'm not going to tell you how he does everything, but Rufus stands out at the end of the book. He's the one that like ends up being like one of the biggest heroes of the book. And that's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to say anything else like that because then I go into details like how that worked. But it upset me because the show it didn't feel like Rufus had a moment where he was a hero, except for one part. And that was the part where he was like helping the dude like from dying.
Mm-hmm.
Like he was doing first aid and stuff to him. But that was it. Like I feel like Rufus was a wasted character compared to the books.
Yeah. For sure.
I also feel that you know, there was some tiebacks to the books. The whole Brody in the animal key thing, that's a huge thing. I'm not gonna say about how that works. Because you should read the books, because there's something cool that happens with Brody and the animal keys, the animal key itself. But overall, I feel like I wanted to see if you could, you know, I wanted to play a little game. So let's see, which keys of this season did you think were not like. Were like the original keys. Is there any keys that you know that you're like, I don't think that's the original key? The lock key is like the whole like chain key.
What do you mean? Are you mean like which keys in this season that are new?
Yeah,
are original keys? I don't know, man. I don't remember what new keys they introduced other than the bird key. And the chess key.
Okay, so how many keys do you think there are? Like,
I have no idea. They never make a point of saying.
Okay, so I will tell you this. There is exactly 32 keys in the original story.
Okay.
And the Netflix one, it has only 15. And they've actually like put two of the keys together, which is the skin key and the gender swap key. Those are put together pretty much when like Dodge just like uses it to like shapeshift into like, you know, a girl or a boy or whatever. They just kind of split those together. So like the original keys, like that were real, are of course the head key, the echo key, the anywhere key was from the original, the ghost key, the animal key, the shadow crown key, is original, the mending key where, you know, she decides to put like his ashes in there. You know, that was in there. The music box was in there, but the music box was different. There was a tie back actually in the season where Ty goes to use the music box on Dodge. On Gideon. Remember how he goes to do it? And he says, "Poor boy, you need to know my name to do that." And yeah, he slaps him, which is actually a callback to the comic book when Tyler figures out who Dodge is. Mm-hmm. Which is Gabe, the character that Dodge is supposed to be, like the cousin of Rufus and them.
Mm-hmm.
He ends up in trying to do that. Tyler goes to finds out that he's Dodge, and goes to Kinsey, which Kinsey has a relationship with him, and he knows that he's there to get her, to kill her, so that he can go find more keys, like pretty much narrow down like the family. And when he shows up, Tyler gets manipulated by the music box because Dodge knows who Tyler is. And then Tyler picks up the music box and goes to use it, and he doesn't know Dodge's real name. He just thinks he's Gabe. So he's like, "You have to know my name, you know, if that's ever going to work on me." So that was a callback to that.
Which, you know, again, the fact that in two seasons, the bad guys had to hold that item and never used it, was absolutely stupid. I don't understand. Do they have to see the person in order to use it?
No. That person has to hear the music box. They have to be around the noise.
Okay, that was never specified, I think, because I never heard that.
It doesn't specify. But in the comics, it does. Where it's like, oh, as long as someone hears the tune and they know their name,
they will be able to.
Time shift key is correct. Time shift key is used differently in this season compared to the books. Time shift key is just used in the books to have Tyler and Kinsey actually use the time shift key. Brody does not, but all they use the time shift key on in the book is to find out who Brendan Locke is, or Benjamin Locke, which is the original key person. So they go back and like see all that stuff that you saw before unfold on why they made the keys and all that. And then they go back and like meet their dad. They go back and see their dad.
Which again, the whole functionality of the keys, I don't know. Like
in the show, they did that stupid thing where it's like a timer.
Yeah.
And they could do that. The time key in the book is like if you're watching a movie, but you're there, but they can't see you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like you just looking at things. You're never changing history. So like that's why like when this happened in the show where Brody goes back and like, you know, finds out all that stuff, then ends up like Dodge taking, you know, him with him. Like I was just like, oh, that's stupid. I was like, I like the time. The only reason the time key, because when you make the time key like that, it then you have to like explain time travel,
yeah,
and you have to explain more things that happen.
Well, luckily enough, they basically explain. Okay, they did explain, but they try to explain the concept that's like, okay, the timer is to prevent a paradox, but and this is a big but. The very functionality that Dodge goes to the changes time would fundamentally instantly alter reality. Not the matter of paradox. That shouldn't be a time shift key. That should be a dimensional shift key.
Yeah.
Because them going into the past or whatever, that's not them changing their future. That is them going to a different dimension and pulling from like an alternate dimension of themselves.
Agreed. So I thought it was really silly that they did something like that instead of just doing the thing where the reason why, you know, the keys were made in the first place, you find out why. That's how you find it out in the comics, is like Kenzie and Tyler find the key and then they use it, and they only use it for like a good chapter and that's it. They don't even use the time key ever again. It was only to explain like why the keys existed and who invented them and who was Dodge and all that. So and then there's another spoiler thing that I'm not going to say, because there, you know, I spoiled a lot more last time we talked, and you know, the whole alpha key thing. But the thing is, it's like there is something that's huge in the comics that happened that explains the whole Rendell Locke thing and Duncan, like why they locked out their memories. And I'm not going to say what it is, but it's like one of the best written stories.
I'll be honest, the very fact that they even allowed their memories of the magic to continue was stupid to begin with. Like, when you mentioned that in the books, there's no whole thing about like when you're an adult, you lose the memory.
Yeah.
Because that makes no freaking sense. Because the guy who made the key initially, he looked like a 20-something year old person. Also, there's the grandpa in the graveyard who has full knowledge. Are we under the appreciation that in person, whatever it's called, that once you die, you get all your memories back? Or is it something where he doesn't have memories, but he sees them work through it or something? I don't know.
He doesn't, like in the book, he's not around.
Like, of course not. Like,
you know, it was an explaining plot to how keys were made, except you find out how keys are made because Time Shift Key shows them how they're made, like in their book. So you're like, oh, okay, that makes sense. More sense than what this crap was. You know, and it's just, you know, and something happens again in the book that I'm not going to say, that is a great part of the ending, and it didn't happen in the series here, and it upset me. But you can tell that these writers kind of didn't really care about the source material at all. And they did, but they didn't. And I feel like this is Netflix's failed attempt again of, you know, doing like a adaption, you know, like we talk about Death Note, you know, that was a terrible adaption.
Yeah.
But then you get things like Sandman. But Sandman, the reason why it's so good.
Exactly. Yeah.
Is because of Neil Gaiman.
Yeah.
Like Neil Gaiman is there.
What this has taught me is not that Netflix can do adaptation, it's that the people who write it can do the adaptation. Netflix can throw money at the right person to do an adaptation. This was bad.
Yeah.
Sandman's good because Neil had full creative control over it. And yeah, he changed some things that some people didn't like, other people liked. That's fine. He's the original creator. You still feel the Sandman experience.
Oh, yeah.
The Death Note. Oh, that was terrible. Absolutely monstrous.
Yeah.
And it had no creative track. That's why people are so afraid of the Avatar live action.
Sorry. Yep.
Because, like, yes, it had the original people on it. I'm not sure if they're still on it now. I thought I heard something that they left. But they're on it. And so it's like, okay, we'll give them a chance.
Well,
but freaking Netflix has the tendency of forcing things.
But Danny Pudin is going to be in the Avatar list.
He is, as one of my favorite characters, side note.
The mechanic?
Yeah. I love that guy. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, I'm liking the cast for the Avatar show, but it could fall into the same area as Lock and Key with me. Like, Lock and Key is an amazing, fun premise. I like the concept. There's some things lore-wise in the show version I don't like. But the problem that weighs down this show after one season, I caught on. Second season, nearly confirmed it. Third season, I'm just like, it was there from the get-go. It's just bad writing, bad explanation. It's equivalent of Game of Thrones season 8, where people are like, it doesn't make sense. People are not functioning correctly in the world sense. And it's like, yeah, characters just were doing dumb things or not thinking correctly and all that stuff. And you can't rationalize it as like freaking, they're kids, because the only one who's actually a kid is Brody. Tyler is way too old to be considered a kid. And I have no idea what Candace or whatever her name is. I have yet to remember her name.
Kinsey.
Thank you. I call her Candace, which I think is a famous verb. But Kinsey. Kinsey doesn't make any sense. And also, did her fear ever get resolved? Is it still running around? I don't remember resolved.
She murdered it. She murdered it and buried it, remember?
And then it came out.
Yeah, and then they don't really explain what happens. But in the comic, you could expect what she does with it. You know, she doesn't feel like feelings. And you realize that, like, those feelings of depression or fear ruin someone. Like, it really constantly ruins the relationship with people.
One thing I'm surprised they didn't do more in the show. Like, the concept of removing fear from someone means that you no longer have, like...
See, that's what's great about the book. The book goes into so much detail of, like, why you're made this way. Like, why do you have fear? Like, when you have best friends, it's kind of like the whole concept where you ever heard, like, the old joke about, like, men and women, where they'd be like, hey, honey, do I look like a cow in this dress? And you say, no. Because you're being nice. You're being nice. And that's the thing, like, without that filter, she does in the comics where, like, it was like, do you love me? And she's like, I don't even love myself. And, like, it kills, like, her one of her friends that is trying to get with her, like, the main gang guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then you realize, she starts realizing that, like, she's not caring at all for anyone, and it's affecting her family because she's not caring that Tyler and Brody are in danger in the books. She's like, whatever, it will figure itself out. We'll get through this. And it's like, no, she needs to have that fear so she has drive
to do things. Exactly. That's the thing. Like, they could have gone into such great detail about the concept of removing one emotion. Whatever the emotion is, hampers and destroys the other possibilities of emotion. And the concept of fear is what keeps us functioning as humans. Like, our defensive instincts is driven by fear, like deep inset fear inside of our system. The reason why we don't say things hurtful to other people is because we're afraid of how they would take it or that it would hurt them. Like, there's so many things that fear on different levels affect us as people. And if you remove that fear, you lose the ability to function as a human being.
Yes.
And that would have been great to see. But no!
No, it's... And that's the thing, is I hope that you... Anything, you know, like... To take anything away from this show is, I hope that this show has gotten you to the point where, since I've explained the book more, that you've been wanting to see how the book turns out and compare those two and be like, okay, this should have been to a T, exactly how the book should have been, like kind of how like Sandman was, you know, there was only like slight changes, you know, because how time is, you know, like times change and, you know, themes change, and you don't realize that because, you know, it's something that changes in the past. So like, you know, that's why I think that when I first read this book, I realized, like, these novels, I fell in love and I was like, this is such a great story. So when Netflix decided to do this, I was like on board. But after I watched, I said, one, it's going to suffer, like, the first season's okay. Because after the season ended, I did not like the whole ending where they threw Dodge's, like, fake body into the demon realm. And I thought that was just dumb. I was like, why is this going on? Oh, it's because they can do this. And Travis tried really hard to get me to like it. But after he watched, he's like, yeah, it's okay. He's like, it's not great. And I was like, yeah, there's better shows out there.
Yep.
So it upsets me, you know, like, because, like, some shows that are really good, that are really well to the comics, they get canceled. And it upsets me, like Paper Girls. I love Paper Girls, the comic. And Amazon did season one of it, and they canceled it just because of viewership. And Wheel of Time, I think Wheel of Time was really well done. But I think what suffered from Wheel of Time on Amazon was Amazon was throwing more money towards Lord of the Rings, the Power Ring.
The Ring of Powers, yeah.
The Ring of Power, to do that instead of dealing with the Wheel of Time, because I consider Wheel of Time as good as Game of Thrones. You know, I love the concepts of those. But you can see that, like, they kind of gave up. Like,
yeah.
They just was like, you know what? We're just going to... Because after season two, I was like, they should have just wrapped it. I was like, everything happened. The Alpha Key was, like, this huge thing. They should have just wrapped it. But, of course, Netflix probably got, you know... And the biggest target for, you know, a lot of people don't realize this, but the biggest target for audiences are kids. You know, you can think of Disney. Disney has made so much money because all their movies are animated targeting kids, you know, most of the time. Or it's Marvel. You know, you can take a kid to a Marvel movie. Like, it's not going to be terrible, you know? There's not going to be people constantly dying. Like, there might be a death of a character sooner or later. But
yeah.
You know, that's the thing is that, but I feel like sometimes you can't do that. Like, you're not going to take Sandman and target kids with it. Like,
no, it's just not going to work. I think the fact that the people of this show, the main characters, are kids, Netflix exec probably said, kids are the story, it's about kids, so we should make it more kid friendly. Yeah, so that way kids would want to do this. And unfortunately, like, that's the situation of it being like, hey, just because kids are the main character does not mean it's for kids. Look at freaking Game of Thrones. The whole show is basically kid. Like, the books are kids. Like, Jon is like 14 in the book. And he's one of the older characters in the show. And, like, Daenerys is 14. Like, everyone's really young. And it's supposed to be like this story of, like, the new generation replacing the old. And that's what this show is, too. It's about the new Locke kids replacing the old Locke kids. Mm-hmm. But then they kind of mess up things and they have to get rid of everything, which they did what the other Locke should have done from the get-go. So, I don't know.
Yeah. There was just some things that were done this season that really puzzled me. I wasn't a fan of Gideon. Like, Gideon, I think, was a better villain than the person that played Dodge or was written by Dodge. Even though I wanted Dodge to be this great villain, Dodge is in the books, you know, like, very ruthless and he kills people. Like, he murders people. You know, but the thing is it just turned into, like, you know, we didn't really get to see murder. We've seen some deaths, like when they unlock the demons and stuff like that, you know, but that's it.
Yes. We do see death and destruction when they unlock the demons or whatnot, but it's also like, well, they're demons. Like, that's legitimately why they're okay with it happening. Well, they're demons. Yep. What do they freaking care? But it's also like, they're still freaking killing them, you know?
Yeah, they're still alive with them, and then the demon kills them. Because the demon possesses their body. But yeah, the whole storyline with Gideon emerging the thing together is bogus. Like, it is just atrocious. I think that it was just, they got themselves in a writing corner, didn't know what to do. And they were like, well, what if we just have him try to merge the worlds because he wants to join the worlds? You know how many times it's been done?
It's not even about it being done. It just, it needs to make sense.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't give reasons for it to make sense. Yeah. And then the worst part is that he has two ghosts of the Civil War who for some reason just like him and accept him and will listen to him. And it's like, why are they even, what's their reason for liking this guy?
Yeah.
Why are they, it's bad writing. One of the things to make good writing, in my opinion, is to give, like, a motivation and like having that motivation work in the world.
Better.
There was no motivation in the show. Like,
well, let's take for instance is you know, let's take the plot of Thanos and the reason why he was destroying humankind or like snapping half the universe away. Because of starvation that he's like, you know, like he's been doing this forever, where he believes mm-hmm. that if he like takes out half a planet, it would save a species. You know, so like you kind of like get that point where you're like, you know, there's some people that agreed with him, you know, you're just like, yeah, you know, but that's the thing is like, I think with a villain that it has a plot like that, you have to believe it. Like you want to believe that this is a good plot. This was not a good plot. Well, so it kind of like I think the story.
There's two types of villains, you know. Mm-hmm. There's the diabolic villain, the one who has his reasons to cause chaos and destruction because of mm-hmm. something that happened in his past or something mm-hmm. that he feels like it's unredeemable. Then you also have like the reasonable villain, the villain who's doing what they're doing because like
revenge.
They view it as well, they view it as the correct course of action, whether mm-hmm. that be revenge or what, they believe it's the correct course of action.
Yeah.
When you have a character like Gideon, who gets resurrected as an echo. Also, the other thing that doesn't make freaking sense to me is the whole functionality of the key house is that echoes can't leave, right?
Yes.
What key did they use to bypass that? Because it wasn't the anywhere key. They used like the...
It was they used a different door. They didn't go through the gates. They went through the other door. Because they used the anywhere key.
Yeah, that's stupid. Remember,
it's stupid.
Because that doesn't solve your problem that you can't leave the house. That it was never specified beforehand that it's like, oh, you can't leave this door. Like, you can't pass this door. It was, you can't leave the well house. And that makes me even more upset when Gideon destroys the well house and he's okay. Because theoretically, if you destroyed that well house, he should have died.
Yeah.
Because there's no longer those things to trap it. And then also, it's also very frustrating, like very annoyingly frustrated that the chess will use magic to protect itself, but that well house is just like, freaking kill me. Which, I don't care.
The chest is made up. Also, oh, Tyler doesn't go away and go to Montana and locks his memories. He's there through the whole time.
Yeah.
You know, he's not going to leave his family. That pissed me off so bad. The other thing is, it's like, so the difference, so like we were just talking about the Echo thing and like how he got out with the inner key.
Mm-hmm.
So actually what happens is how it happens in the book is Dodge convinces Brody to let her out. Like he's like, oh, well, you should let me out. So because if you unlock it and then you invite the Echo up, which you're like, hey, I want to talk to you. The Echo cannot leave the well house without the permission of that person. So she manipulates Brody to believe, you know, to give her permission. Like she was like, you can set me free, Brody. So he's like, I set you free as an Echo. And so then she can go.
Yeah.
So that makes more sense. I, you know, because of the barrier, like, oh yeah, there's a barrier. And why wouldn't she just walk out? Oh, because of this. So with the anywhere key though, she ends up stealing the anywhere key from Brody, and then that's how she like gets to Rufus and all them.
You know what freaking just entered my head as well?
Mm-hmm.
Brody was so upset about wanting to see his dad and everything of that sort. Mm-hmm. Why didn't they freaking just make a echo of their dad?
Yeah.
Boom, yeah, you guys get your dad back. And then it's like whenever like everyone gets too old or whatnot, and he's mm-hmm. like, okay, we've had the extra year with me. We all get to continue having our happy life and whatnot.
Well, see,
I'll go back into the well house and I love you all.
See, they don't specify this in the show, but in the book, the only way that you can become an Echo is you have to die on locked property. So, like, you would have to be murdered on locked property to be that. So, like, in the show, why, I mean, in the book, why they can't resurrect him in the book is because he's murdered.
Yeah, he was murdered on locked property.
Yeah.
It would be great, like, if they freaking explained that.
Yeah, they don't explain that one bit. And it makes more sense because then you get to, like, you realize, oh, well, who else can we make an Echo? Like, and like, after Brody does it and he explains to Kinsey and Tyler in the book about it, like, how Echoes work, they all stay away from the Well House. They're just like, no, this is a terrible thing. And the only way that you can, like, defeat them in the book, like an Echo, is you have to throw them back in the well. They have to go back in the Well House. Yeah. So, like, in the show, they kind of alluded to, like, getting, you know, people back in the Well House.
Yeah.
But it didn't ever work, you know?
No, and for some reason, you know, like, whenever they had that giant crane machine to push him into it, they didn't think to themselves, hey, you know, why don't we make, like, I don't know, something that is more OP than a freaking crane. Like, we can literally create whatever we want. Why don't we create a super armor? Like, make a Master Chief, like, Cyclops machine or something, and then just a freaking alien. They could have done so many fun, interesting things with that key, and they did basic, stupid stuff.
Well, see, what I loved, like, what I love in the comic book with, like, the head key is, so there's two things I really love about it in the book is Tyler ends up using the head key to learn about cars, and he ends up rebuilding his dad's old car with Duncan in the garage, which is, like, one of the coolest things ever, because that's when you find out, like, Duncan is manipulated, and someone else is using the head key on Duncan to, like, suppress his memories.
Yeah.
And Tyler realizes it, and he's like, oh my gosh, someone's, like, manipulating Duncan's memories. And then you come to find out that the reason why certain people can't see magic in the book is because if you're not a kid and you're in the lock house and you don't see the magic, you can never see the magic. So, like, and Nina, on the other hand, is really the only adult that sees magic in the book. She sees it when she's intoxicated. But, you know, they kind of keep it secret from their mom, too. Their mom doesn't know anything, really. Like, their mom in the book is just non-existent. And they don't really do adults at all. Like, no adult comes in. They just kind of just don't see it. But, you know, there's a reason why. Like, if you were part of the Locke family and you knew about the keys, you knew. But you realize that, like, the older Locks don't have those memories anymore. And I'm not going to say why, because it's like one of the best storylines ever in that book. And I think people should go out and read the book, well, the graphic novels, to figure that out. I don't want to spoil it because it's one of the biggest plot twists in the whole, in the books. But the head key and, like, how knowledge works with it in the books compared to this is garbage. Cause, like, you know, him, like, oh, well, I'm going to learn about Britain so I can be with that girl, you know? And, you know, it drove me nuts. And I didn't like how they left their keys around.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
Like, they were just like, eh, whatever. We'll just put these keys, all the keys, in this small little compartment. Like, that, they knew Dodge and all them were gone. Do you not expect someone else to, like, go after the keys? Like, what do you expect? You know, so, like, I was like, this is stupid. And then they were like, oh, we're going to put this in the magic box and no one can break into it. I was like, this is so stupid. Because the reason why the keys were, you know, the keys were more secure but not secure in the books because they wore them. Like, they would wear them. And they actually started splitting them up between their friends. So, like, their friends could, like, you know, do that. You know, it wasn't, you know, which leads into, like, that's when they find out, like, about, you know, Gabe and Dodge, pretty much. Because his name's Gabe in the book.
Yeah. The show, unfortunately, in my opinion, does a horrifically bad job of adapting it to the screen.
Yeah.
I was talking with our friend Dylan about it, and he liked Lock and Key, like the show. And the more, like, we talked about it, the more he was like, yeah, I think I liked the concept more than the actual show. Because there was a lot of things that just didn't make sense once you, like, think about it or point it out. Because, like, I went on the miniature rant of, like, these kids are... Nothing makes sense that all these kids do anything. He's like, I definitely liked the show for the concept. And I was like, yeah, as a concept, like, this whole, like, different keys do different things and function and whatnot. I like that. I would be down for a new adaptation. If Netflix got someone to actually, like, adapt the books into the show, or Amazon or whoever would grab it, would do a full-on adaptation, kind of like how the Sandman's doing, I would be all down to, like, watch it. I would give it my whole, like, support and go for it. But, no, I would not. I don't think this is that great of a show. I think this is a... It's a C show at best. Like it kept my attention, but it fought me. It fought me.
No, and the
hard.
Thing is this was like, and you know, I remember when this season came out. The first season came out. A girl I went to high school with asked, like, "Oh, my kids are into Lock and Key. What things like should I also watch?" And I was like, "Well, have you read the graphic novels?" And she's like, "No, there's graphic novels." And I was like, "Yeah, they're great." And she's like, "Okay." I was like, "Wait a minute, are you gonna read them, or like your 14-year-old?" And she's like, "My 14-year-old is like, yeah, don't do that." I was like, "The graphics are very graphic, of course." And wink, wink. But you know, I was just like, I think that if this was well done, like if they would do an adaption, I agree with you 100%. Like I believe that if they got someone that, you know, knew this source material very well and was okay with the violence in it, I think that we could propel it to a better thing. And I hope a show picks it up. I hope they pick it up, because this was a failed, they had an old pilot episode on Fox. I don't know if I talked about that before.
You mentioned it, yeah.
It was too scary for kids. So they canceled it. And I was like, that sucks. So hopefully, you know, we get, you know, like 5-6 years down the road, we get a good adaption to it. So, you know, it hurts my heart because this is one of my favorite graphic novels, and they kind of just pooped on it.
Yeah. That's the thing. Sometimes they do that, yeah. Which is too bad, because it could have been great.
Yeah.
All right. Awesome. I guess that basically covers us for Lock and Key. I'm pretty good. Do you have anything you want to add? Any last thoughts?
No. You guys should go totally read the Lock and Key series. You can get the whole complete series on Amazon for $50. You can read them. They're not hardback books, but they're paper books. I actually have the set myself. Do yourself a favor. If you like the show, I think that you'd be more sound with the books. It's more of an adult thing, but you know, I think that the books are way better, and it surpasses anything that show was trying to do. But yeah, past that, nothing really, except for, you know, if anyone's interested, I know that, like, you know, I said last week that Sandman Part 3 came out, like the audiobook. Mike Flanagan's new show came out. So I'm going to watch that a couple episodes tonight.
Oh, the Midnight thing. Yeah.
The Midnight Club came out. I've watched like the first two episodes, and it is as good as Midnight Mass. So and they have characters from Midnight Mass show up, like actors. The crazy girl, like the, what's her name? You remember the crazy girl Midnight Mass? Like the girl that was like the preacher's right-hand girl. You know what I'm talking about? The one that ends up like poisoning, like is the one that poisons everyone.
Yeah.
She's in it. And then the one guy that has like the big beard. I forget what he was in Midnight Mass, but I remember he talks to the little altar boy at the end where he's like,
where he's the all sad guy. And whatnot. Yeah.
Yeah, the older guy's in it too. So like I'm actually really excited to see this. I love Mike Flanagan stuff. And actually when we get around to it, probably, hopefully, you know, we'll see, because we might have to do a pre-record just inform the audience, because I am leaving for vacation here in like 2 weeks. So like I am going to Disney World, so
I thought you I thought you were going the 30th.
No, I'm leaving the 25th.
Oh, you're leaving the 25th.
Yeah, I'm leaving the 25th. Okay. I start my vacation on the 21st, but I leave on the 25th to the 29th.
Okay.
Riley?
Riley?
Who's Riley? What are we talking about? Oh, are you talking about like who it is in Midnight Mass, Riley?
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, Midnight Club is all out now. I've been watching it. It's about a bunch of people that are suffering from some type of stage of cancer. They go to this hospice place out in the middle of nowhere, and there's something that goes on. Something is luring them there. I don't know exactly what it is yet, but we'll figure it out.
So, Austin.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, we got Bros and Show. We got next week. What are we watching?
I don't know. Has this ended? Has the She-Hulk ended?
I believe this was the last. This week is the last episode of She-Hulk.
It looks like it ended. Oh, no.
There will be 9 episodes. Thursday the 13th. Which is this week. So, Austin, this is my thought process. We do She-Hulk for next week for the 27th, for the 17th. Then we do Midnight Club for the spooky show for the 24th.
Okay.
And then the 31st, I propose, since it would be technically my time, to do Over the Garden Wall.
Over the Garden Wall?
You would probably recognize it if you looked it up. It is a animated series. It's very short. It's only one season. It stars Elijah Wood. Christopher Lloyd, the guy who does Back to the Future.
What? I don't know anything about this. Like,
it is my fall vibes. It's a lot of fall vibes. You may recognize it, but it is a small little story. It's like Halloween theme / fall themed. Look it up. I think it would be fantastic for us to do that for the 31st, for October itself.
You mean Over the Garden Wall?
Yeah.
Okay. So I've heard about this. I've heard about this a couple times because of TikTok.
Okay.
Actually, because someone goes up and says, hey, you know, oh, what was it? They go up and they're like, hey, what's your favorite TV show? And someone said Secret Over the Garden Wall. And I was like, whatever that is, that sounds cool. And then I've been wanting to watch it. I put it up on like my watch part. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty excited.
No,
I get to watch something that I've been wanting to watch.
Absolutely amazing. It has an all-star cast.
Oh yeah, I'm seeing right here. You got Elijah Wood. You got Christopher Lloyd. You got Sam Fred Stoller. I know him. Man, there's a whole bunch of people in here.
Yeah,
John Cleese is in it. Oh my gosh.
I don't know who that is, but yeah, sure.
John.
Oh wait. Oh, I do know. I recognize that guy.
Yeah.
He's from something.
Monty Python.
I've seen.
John Cleese.
Oh yeah, that's And Tom Curry's also in it. So
Tim Curry, man, there's so many good people.
Yeah, it is a fantastic.
Thomas Lennon's in it. Oh my gosh,
this was legitimately a short show that blew my mind the first time I watched it. So I can't wait for us to watch it, but that will come for our 31st show.
Mm-hmm.
So Austin, I say. Mm-hmm. Next week we do She-Hulk. The week after we do the Midnight thing. That way we get two spooky shows right back to back. One, a thriller killer.
I said we just skip She-Hulk altogether and just do spooky all month.
I mean, honestly, we could, but I do want to cover She-Hulk.
Well, we could cover She-Hulk in November. Because there is a show that I only want to watch the first season of it, because the second season is awful.
No, we have to do all seasons.
Well, it's actually no, it's a different type of show. It's just the same premise, but they're two separate things. So like we could do the one and we don't have to do the other one because it's kind of like, have you ever watched True Detective?
Yeah.
Yeah. So True Detective is like three different things, but it's called True Detective, but it's different, you know, like storylines. Like it doesn't tie into anything else. So, cause I would make you watch Haunting on Hill House, which is Mike Flanagan's first ever movie. Ever show on Netflix. And then they did Haunting on Hill House Bly Manor, which is just a separate story.
Isn't Haunting on Hill House originally a movie?
That's a movie. Well, Haunting on Hill House was a movie in the 90s that was awful, starring Liam Neeson. But Haunting on Hill House was the show that got Mike Flanagan his role to do Midnight Mass, which he was writing that story since he was like in high school. So
Haunting on Hill House is one season.
Yeah.
Okay. So then this is where I petition this to you then. If you would like us to wait till November to do She-Hulk because you want more spooky stuff, it is your birthday month, Austin. So I am willing to give you more overarching say on this because there is a couple shows we've had waited to do for it. And technically, I think we've been consistently doing kind of like horror kind of theme stuff. Like Lock and Key, I could see it not being horror. The original premise was horror, but they definitely tried to make it kind of spooky how they did stuff. So if you would like us to put a pin into She-Hulk until November, I will allow that for you.
I will allow it. Okay.
I will allow it for you.
I am
for your
totally
birthday.
Down. I am totally down. So why don't we just do, how about we just do this? We do Haunting on Hill House this week, or we could do your show.
Let's up to you. Yeah, let's do Over the Garden Wall. We'll get a little bit of a palate cleanser. Because Over the Garden Wall is just vibes, man. We were playing D&D at my house, not at my house, but at a friend's house yesterday, and Over the Garden Wall was the soundtrack we had playing, and we were all just sitting there just like, oh, it's so great. Get our little pumpkin spice latte. None of us drink that, but you know, like, we had coffee at least, and just sat there and enjoyed it. So we could do Over the Garden Wall, then Haunting
and then we'll
on
Haunting Hill House.
Or wait, hold on.
And then on Halloween, we would do, that week we would do, Midnight Club, because that's a show that me and you both know then, because like we were wanting to watch it because it was like kind of Mike Flanagan's thing.
Okay, here's the thing, Austin. Here's the honest truth. Should we do Midnight Club this week though? Because it just came out. It would fit that motif of it came out, let's watch it, let's do it.
Okay. Yeah, and then after that we'll do Over the Garden Wall,
and then we end on the Hill House.
Yep.
Unless you think this show will be better than Haunting on the Hill.
I don't know. That's the thing. Like Mike Flanagan, I don't think has done anything wrong except he did do Haunting on Hill House Bly Manor.
I wasn't
really part of it.
I am biased. And I personally think, you know, Over the Garden Wall will be better than both these, but I also like animation and cartoons, so take that with a super grain of salt.
Let's do Over the Garden Wall this week, and then we'll do Haunting on Hill House, and then we'll do Midnight Club last.
Okay. All right. That's what we're doing. So this week we are doing Over the Garden Wall. I'm so excited to watch it because I just watched it like 3 days ago, and I binged it all. That's how much I loved it. And
it's on HBO. Okay.
It's on HBO. It's on Hulu. I think it's on. I know for a fact it's on HBO. I think it's on Hulu. It is fantastic. I love it. And it's going to be a super quick watch. It will be a super quick watch. I think each episode's only 20 to 30 minutes. So it will be easy McPeasy for it. Awesome. That's our plan. That's our plan. Mm-hmm. That's our go-to. And we're going to do that. Okay. Austin, I thank you so much for stopping by and joining me on this episode of Bros and Shows with Haunting on Hill House. Or no, Lock and Key, my bad. And next week we will have Over the Garden Wall, the first of our three spooky shows of our choosing.
Spooky.
Thank you guys so much for stopping by, and thank you all so much for tuning in.